we get started today, and as I think about that, come to the scripture that we're about to read. We are to the way that it talked about with the drummer boy. We can listen to the scripture, we can hear what it says, but God wants us to come. And I don't mean just listen. I don't mean just be in attendance. I mean come in the sense that we embrace what God has to give us. And God has a message, and not only a message, but God also has something to give us today that can continue to change our lives. Even if we have been a person that really seeks God and continues to do that, I tell you, we never arrive this side of heaven. And so there is something for us to be had today. So as you come, come and give in much the same way the drummer boy did. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. 1, verse 26 through 38. And it is the scripture about the birth of Jesus being foretold to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive and is in her sixth month. For no words from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. All right, so I asked the children what I spoke on last week in terms of the candle, and they said hope. Should I ask you what my 3 points were last week in the sermon and see how many of y'all get that? All right, maybe not. So we did last week talk about lost hope and the fact it can be difficult to have hope in the midst of the world we live because of what the world has to offer. We talked about empty prayers and that all of us have had times when our prayers don't seem to be making it to God. But we were reminded that this is not due to God's lack of attention, but more likely our being distracted by our own agendas and the things of this world. And then we kind of wrapped it up by talking about light in the darkness. We all have hope and light in the darkness. If we open our hearts and turn to Him, He will fulfill our needs as a wonderful counselor, as an everlasting Father, as a mighty God, and as the Prince of Peace. Today, we explore more deeply Jesus' role in our lives as the Prince of Peace. Are you at peace? Is your body at peace? Is your mind at peace? Is your soul at peace? I have promised that these Christmas messages will not only be a reminder and celebration of the coming of the Christ child, but also the very practical and relevant application to our own everyday lives. Here's a synopsis of today's scripture. First, there was conflict. Mary faced confusion, potential shame, and disruption to her life after the angel's announcement. And then there was a promise. God made a promise through the angel Gabriel. And then Mary responded with, "Let it be," trusting God's word, finding peace through obedience, surrender, worship, even when she didn't understand. And then we come to understand peace a little bit more. We find peace not by avoiding problems, but by surrendering to God's plan in our own unsettling situations. So, talking about having issues and experiencing conflict, there is no way Mary, as a young girl, could have fully understood what the angel was saying. But she did know enough to realize what the angel was saying would happen to her was not accepted by her family, her town, or her culture. This is by no means the anticipated happening that she had when she became betrothed or engaged to Joseph. So yes, if we're honest with ourselves, there's not a person here or with us online today that does not have conflict in your life. Maybe it's family conflict, relationship issues, financial challenges, health problems, addictions, loneliness, a burdensome job, a student who is struggling with grades or stressed out over upcoming exams. Maybe it is an uncertainty or a lack of purpose for your future. Regardless of what your issue is, conflict is a part of life. And it seems to generate many emotions for us, but peace is not usually one of them. But hear this, today we will see that we can have peace in the midst of the life we are in at this moment. God makes a lot of promises in Scripture. Do you believe God keeps His promises? Most of you are shaking your head. I think even if you're not, you probably believe He does. Many of those promises that are found in Scripture are made directly to you. Not just you, but any believers, and a lot of them are to non-believers as well. There are many promises, and you've just said, most of you, that you believe God keeps all of His promises. I would encourage you to take time at some point in your time with the Bible and explore the overwhelming number of promises God makes. Sometimes it may be difficult to believe or even understand God's promises to you. Consider His promise to Mary. In verse 31, it said, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Really? Really? It was scary enough that an angel showed up. I'm thinking that this teenage girl wasn't used to just having angels pop up every day. And that was scary enough. And then the message is that, oh, by the way, you're going to have a baby. I don't know how she got over being afraid to ask the question, but somehow or another, she got an assumption to be able to say, how? How can I have a child? I haven't been with a man. How is that possible? And then God answered her through Gabriel. Although I'm not sure that helped any. Do you understand how that answer worked if you were a 13, 14, 15-year-old girl? That the Spirit will come upon you and you will become pregnant? She questioned the angel and got a response, but then said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word, in other words, your promise to me be fulfilled. Do we really understand how big of a deal that is? I'm not sure I can comprehend it. One, because I wasn't there. Two, because I'm a man, not a woman. God is real. His promises are true. His promises to you are true. Are you living your life according to the promises he has given you? Do you know what they are? If not, as we said, there are so many promises to us in the scripture. That's where I would encourage you to start. Read them, claim them, let your faith in their validity, their truth, whether you can understand them fully or not, let those promises guide the thoughts you have. Let them guide the words you say. Let the promises guide the actions you take and the life that you live. As you grow closer in relationship to God, he will reveal his plans and his promises directly to you, not only through Scripture. Scripture is the foundation, but it can go beyond that. Will be able to work in your life such that you will be living a God-ordained life with both purpose and a peace this world cannot understand. You see, this type of peace referred to in Scripture as shalom is not a peace that comes based on what is happening around you. Peace does not come because you all of a sudden have a perfect family. Your relationships with family, friends, and co-workers become stress-free. All financial obligations are taken care of. Your job is going great. You're no longer tempted by things of this world or even stressed out by upcoming exams, other responsibilities, or what your future holds. You see, it is very unlikely these things will change overnight, if at all. But what can change is you. Shalom, peace, is something internal, not external. The peace comes when we surrender to God, trust that he knows us, understands us, loves us, has a plan for us, and desires to help us achieve the plan he has for our lives. I'm going to repeat that again because this is the one sentence that gives you the answer to how can we have peace in the midst of whatever is happening in your life. The peace comes when we surrender to God, when we let him have a part of our have him be the one to lead and guide and direct our life because we give up that control to him. When we trust that he knows us, does God know you? He created you. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. Surrender to him, trust that he knows, understands us, loves us. One of the things I say all the time, God is crazy in love with you. Think of the person in this world you love the most or the person in this world that you know loves you the most. You can multiply that times a million and that person or you still don't love nearly as much as God does. He is crazy in love with you. So peace comes when we surrender, when we trust, when we know that he understands, loves us, and has a plan for us. But not only does he have a plan, he desires to help us achieve that plan. God wants to achieve that plan. We don't have to hear what the plan is and do it on our own. When we know we have the God of the universe on our side in this way, it cannot help but bring peace into our lives. Think about it. When we know that the God of the universe loves us, cares for us, understands us, has a plan for us, and is willing to walk beside of us. In fact, get this. whether we want to acknowledge it or not, God has always been with you. And if you take time to look back, that begins to be your own testimony, even though you didn't know it. God has been with you all throughout your life, and believe you. And if you allow it, not only will his presence be there, but he will speak to you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will warn you. He will protect you. This is true and real, and we have claimed this, that Jesus Christ, the babe whom was anticipated for so long, who was promised to young Mary, did indeed come to us in this world and came as the Prince of Peace. A promise, a gift of internal, eternal, everlasting peace for every person who seeks him, trusts him, and follows him as Lord. Do you have peace today? Do you want it? You can. I'm going to ask